Yes to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23295.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Thomas Glessner, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Emerging Brave New World. And, of course, it's a book about the abortion issue. I think Mr. Glessner feels very deeply about abortion, the fact that it doesn't seem to matter whether we have the Democrats or Republicans in power. Why, nothing changes. Republican presidents don't do anything about it, and certainly then we get new people on the Supreme Court, and time after time they're just as bad as the Democrats or the liberals were. In fact, of course, seven of the current Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republicans. So maybe we're not going to solve the problem, as most people really believe, simply by changing political parties. Well, with that as a background, Thomas, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and how it came that you certainly would write this book?
Well, first of all, my name is Tom Glessner. I am an attorney licensed in both the state of Washington and the state of Virginia. I live in the state of Virginia in the Washington, D.C. area. And I head up a public interest law firm out here which supplies legal services to almost 1,200 pro-life pregnancy resource centers in 50 states. And these centers provide alternatives to abortion. They provide medical services and do some great, great work in the communities around the nation. This issue has been a concern of mine for the last 25 years, and I've been working in the pro-life arena with these centers. Certainly I've been able to see how our nation has drifted since the Roe versus Wade decision came down in 1973, and where that Roe versus Wade decision, what it has done to open up the doors for the emergence of all sorts of strange and bizarre things going on in our scientific community that are being accepted by the public. So that's basically the concern that caused me to write the book.
Well, was it the drifting of our nation away from our Christian roots that caused Roe versus Wade, or was it Roe versus Wade that caused the drifting of our nation? Which do you think it was?
Oh, no, it definitely, the nation has been drifting for many decades prior to 1973. What the court really did in 1973, I believe, is simply adopt what was the current ethic of the culture at that time and remains the ethic. The Supreme Court is a body that's political. Despite the way it was supposed to be set up, it is run by and staffed by people who are very political people. And so the decision of Roe versus Wade was really more of a reflection of where the culture had gone at that time.
But, of course, the thing is, the Supreme Court is supposed to interpret the Constitution, not to change the Constitution by the whims of the people. And that was what our founders feared. And I know very well, I can remember 1973, I think the majority of the people were pro-life at that time. They had not yet indoctrinated our youth. We'd only had sex education in our schools for a short period of time. I was a practicing physician at the time. The vast majority of the physicians in our community believed in the Hippocratic Oath and believed, of course, that abortion was wrong. But, of course, that didn't seem to matter to the people.
All the things you say...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Thomas, go right ahead.
Yes, all the things you said I think are quite true. But the culture had been drifting in this direction for several decades. And, well, maybe a majority of people were not believers in abortion on demand. There was a significant number of people in power and high places that were promoting it effectively. And while maybe if you'd taken a poll, asked if people supported abortion, a strong majority would have said they did not, this decision was very deceptive in that it was not couched in terms of support for abortion. It was couched in terms of support for choice. After all, isn't choice the American way? And, you know, you don't have to support abortion. You don't have to believe in abortion. Of course, that's your right. But just let someone else make that choice for themselves and don't impose your morality on somebody else. And so that is what opened the doorways. And I think that was probably, this was the 1973, we're coming out of the 60s. And I believe the culture was pretty much in line with that idea of choice. So many people would say I'm against abortion, but if you ask them, well, should it be outlawed or what, a strong number would say, well, I believe that's a woman's choice and the government should stay out of it.
All right, fine. But, of course, initially all these things were done at the state level, and, of course, and now, of course, they're taking it to the national level. Was there any place in the Constitution that justified abortion? And, of course, that's all that the Supreme Court is to do, is to act on things, you know, to determine whether they're constitutional or not.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing in the Constitution that justifies what the court did in this decision. What the court did is they said that the Constitution gave a constitutional right to a woman to have an abortion. Well, that's nonsense. There's nothing in the Constitution where that could be derived from. It was something the court made up totally out of thin air and implemented, imposed on the rest of society. In the meantime, we've lived several decades now where this is the law of the land, and we've had a whole generation grow up with it as the law of the land.
Well, of course, you titled your book The Emerging Brave New World. And would you like to perhaps explain to our listeners why you use that title?
Well, the concept of a brave new world was first put in writing by an English author named Aldous Huxley, who wrote his book Brave New World. He wrote it in the 1930s, and in this book he envisioned a society that would eventually come to pass.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Thomas Glessner, and we're talking about his book, The Emerging Brave New World. And, of course, the title comes from the writings of a man named Aldous Huxley, who was a British Fabian socialist, who wrote a book in the 1930s entitled The Brave New World. And, of course, Thomas's book is The Emerging Brave New World. And, of course, the society that Huxley wrote about was a society where human life was of little value, that everything was regulated by the state. It was a totally regulated society. You could have sex without reproduction and reproduction without sex. They had laboratories. I remember reading that book. Laboratories, of course, where they'd take the ovum and inseminate them, and they'd grow them in test tubes. And, I mean, they would actually, of course, the children were actually then eventually grown to infant size, and then, of course, raised by the state. Everything was controlled by the state, and humanity as we know it doesn't exist. So why don't you just pick up and tell the story as you'd like to tell from your book?
Well, in fact, you know, Huxley was somewhat of a prophet, as he was writing about a future world at the time that he envisioned coming to pass. And my book, The Emerging Brave New World, argues that this world of Huxley is emerging and is becoming a reality more and more every day. And the reason it's becoming a reality is because of the doors that were opened in 1973 by the Supreme Court, which allows for abortion on demand. Well, the main thing that case did, besides allowing for abortion on demand, the philosophical bent of that case is what has opened the door for a brave new world. Because in that case, the court was faced with the issue, a legal issue, of whether an unborn child is a person under the Constitution of the United States. Our Constitution protects the lives of persons, and the 14th Amendment says no state shall deny to any person life without due process of law. If an unborn child is a person under this provision, then abortion cannot be allowed. Well, the Supreme Court said basically that the unborn child may be a human being, but that's irrelevant. Humanity is irrelevant to whether personhood exists. Irregardless of whether the unborn child is a person or not, or is a human or not, it is not a person under this constitutional provision, and therefore its life is not protected. So by issuing this decision, the court rendered or gave us a precedent that separates humanity from personhood, and therefore says some human beings are not protected by the Constitution and can be killed at will. Now, this philosophy, this ethic, now exists in other forms throughout our society that is frightening, and this is where I argue that because of this ethic, a brave new world is certainly emerging out of the dark shadows of Huxley's novel.
You write in the foreword to your book, only a restoration of the traditional and biblical sanctity of life ethic within our culture and institutions will stop the onslaught of this devilish ethic that now grows like a cancer and destroys millions of innocent human lives annually. And of course, it's really going on throughout the world. America led the way. But of course, America really has been pushing these ideas of family planning throughout the world for a long period of time. It seems that there's a group of people at the highest levels of our land who really believe in population control. And certainly abortion is simply part and parcel of that. Would you agree with that concept?
Oh, sure, definitely. But really, when we say abortion is part and parcel to it, what we're really saying is the ethic of abortion, which says some human beings are not persons and therefore can be killed, are part of this. And of course, that ethic has led to some very, very strange and bizarre things that are going on, starting with the debate over embryonic stem cell research, which essentially says human embryos can be created in a test tube. And by the way, President Obama's recent executive order is now federal funding this, or providing federal funds for this, but that human embryos can be created in a test tube for the sole purpose of destroying them to use the stem cells in treatment of disease and medical research. So now we've established the precedent that embryonic human beings may be killed to be used as spare parts to treat disease. The debate over human cloning. Are we going to allow the cloning of human beings? And some of the people who are advocating this are advocating the cloning of human embryos in order to kill them, to use the stem cells for medical research. It's very, very bizarre, and it's moving in a direction that is frightening.
Well, your book actually gives us sort of the whole history of the abortion issue, you know, the abortion debate going back really through the centuries, even the early very primitive societies, the Hittites and others, you know, the ancient civilizations, they all opposed abortion. Would you like to cover some of that? Because I learned quite a bit about abortion simply reading your book, some of the interesting things that you'd written there about what had happened in the past and then were our modern laws outlawing abortion. question came from.
Well, what the United States Supreme Court did in 1973 was to essentially ignore centuries of civilization and an ethic that predated the advent of Christianity. Many, many pagan cultures from the, as you mentioned, the Hittites, the Babylonians, the ancient Egyptians, all had prescriptions against abortion. And the abortion was not an ethic that was has been promoted in society, and certainly not in Western civilization. And the advent of Christianity created a new ethic that and even more advanced the notion that unborn human life should be protected. And so what Roe versus Wade did, it ignored this whole history of the Western world and development and Western culture. And it created a new ethic that's shocking. The court in 1973 took what was at that time a felony against the law in all 50 states, a felony, and turned it into a constitutional right. Now let me ask you a question. What would people think of if tomorrow the Supreme Court issues a decision that says car theft is a constitutional right? Now, of course, you don't have to be a car thief yourself, and if you think car thievery is immoral, then that's fine. No one's forcing you to be a car thief. But don't impose your morality on anybody else, because they have the right to choose whether to thief cars or not. Okay? That would sound crazy to everybody. I'm sure that sounds crazy to our listening audience right now. Sounds insane. And yet that is exactly what the court did in 1973. They took an act that was a felony in all 50 states that had been throughout the centuries opposed and prohibited by culture after culture, both Christian and non-Christian. They took an act and made it into a constitutional right. Insane.
Well, we live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us that really are sane, and a lot of people think we're crazy. But, I mean, your point is well made, and the analogy is very, very valid. But the average person really doesn't think about these things. In fact, you know, one of the most amazing things to me is you will never on television see, you know, the product of an abortion. I mean, if you've ever seen the pictures of the mangled, dismembered bodies of the children who were killed by abortion, I mean, they're really sickening. They refuse. The people who control the major television media will not sell time, you know, on their stations to allow those pictures to be shown to the American people, because it is almost as if there is an agreement, almost as if there were a conspiracy on the part of the mass media to conceal the reality of what this is really about, because a picture is worth a thousand words. These pictures are so gruesome they would just turn people's stomachs, but this is what we're doing to living human beings.
Absolutely. Now, when Dwight Eisenhower conquered the Nazi regime in Europe, World War II, one of the things he did is he marched the citizens of towns near the death camps, the German citizens. He marched them through the death camps to look at what their government had done. These people claimed, we didn't know. Well, you know, maybe they didn't know, but there was no excuse for that. And he marched them through the death camps to see the corpses and to see what had happened in their country. To shake them up, and with the purpose of this will never happen again. And yet we today have this silent Holocaust where the mangled and tortured and dead bodies of little children from the abortion Holocaust are silent and hidden from the public's view, because the media knows that if the public were to see this, it'd probably be a great public outcry to stop it.
I shall never forget taking some of those pictures and putting, they were pretty unfairly large charts that were folded up, but I put them in my waiting room where people could, if they wanted to, could open them up and look at them. And I remember the response of a couple of high school girls seeing that fury, yelling and screaming and stomping out of the office. How terrible offensive it was to show those pictures. And, of course, I'm sure that they were offended because they supported this process. I think this would have a tremendous shock value. Why doesn't the pro-life organizations ever, you know, simply by one means or another, simply force this information onto television?
Well, I don't know if they could actually do it. I think there's a media blackout on it. And, of course, any television station or radio station or any part of the media has a choice to determine what the content is of what they broadcast. And I'm pretty sure that the mainstream television stations would not allow this simply because they're supporters of abortion. They just would not allow it.
Well, I think what we're seeing, of course, is the fact that there is a censorship, an active censorship, and there is a connivance on the part of the people who control literally every television station. There may be a few varied, but almost every television station is controlled with very, very few exceptions. We'll be back in just a moment with Thomas as we talk about his book, The Emerging Brave New World. Go right ahead, Thomas.
Well, sure, we were talking about, you know, the media and the media's acquiescence cover up of what abortion is, and
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Created with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, men are endowed with the right to life. And, of course, what the Supreme Court has done is do away with the right to life. And you are an unborn child, you have no rights. And so they say, well, you're only a living human being after you're born. You've got to be completely born. You can be partly born. It's all right to kill you. You can be three-quarter born. It's all right to kill you. You can have your entire body out except for the tip of your head, and we can still go ahead and kill you. And of course, these things just don't make sense from a logical point of view. But then so much of what's going on today doesn't make sense unless, of course, it's my thesis that there is a conspiracy against God. There's an effort to destroy the moral fabric of our society. There is an intense hatred of God. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. It had nothing to do with the Constitution. There is an organized effort to change America from its moral foundation, where, of course, the individual was right and integrity was right, to a nation where torture is perfectly acceptable and corruption in government is acceptable, and, well, anything is acceptable, well, except belief in God. Do you look upon what's going on, Thomas, as really primarily a spiritual battle?
Well, it certainly is a spiritual battle. You know, it's definitely a spiritual battle, because when we start with the premise that all life is sacred because it's made in the image of God, we have now talking about the spiritual principles that have kept us together as a nation. You know, you talked about the attack on these spiritual values. Well, I guess, you know, this isn't really new, is it? Isn't this what the Bible told us happened long ago in heaven, where there was a rebellion, and those who were rebelled were cast down here, and they're here to wreak havoc upon God's creation, including those made in His image. So this is just simply a continuation of that type of attack, a vicious, vicious, evil attack. And you made one point. You said that the Supreme Court said that you're not human beings if you're unborn. They didn't say that. This is the serious concern that we need to have, is the Supreme Court said, irregardless of whether they're human beings or not, it doesn't matter if they're human beings. The fact is, they're not persons. And if they're not persons, their lives can't be protected. And the reason the court said they're not persons is they said that the unborn child inside the womb is not capable of, quote, meaningful life, end of quote. Therefore, it's not a person. Well, if we take that ethic and apply it to born people, who decides if one's life is not meaningful? If an unborn child's life is not meaningful because it's inside the womb, and apparently of no good to anybody, well, what about the life of a handicapped person? What about our lives if we were in a car accident today and we were rendered quadriplegic? Is our life now not meaningful anymore, and therefore it can be ended because by losing its meaning it's no longer a person? I mean, these are serious, serious ethical issues that the Pandora's box was opened up by the court in this decision. So now we're talking about, in our society, about things such as assisted suicide in euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, the killing of little embryonic human beings, which, by the way, you and I and everyone listening to this broadcast at one time was an embryo. Killing of embryonic human beings for the perceived benefit of society because the stem cells of these little human beings can be used or believed to be useful in the treatment of disease. Cloning of human beings for the sole purpose of killing them to use their stem cells. You know, these are the things that are going on, and these are the things that are resulting from the denial of the sanctity of life ethic that was the foundation of Western culture.
but is no longer the foundation of Western culture. That is the great tragedy of today, because our educational system has destroyed this belief in absolutes, right and wrong, and certainly the belief in God. And of course, if you can destroy the belief in God, somebody once said, it's not that these people, you know, who we've destroyed the belief in God and they believe in nothing. It's that they'll believe in anything. And that's the great tragedy of today. Many of these people are embracing philosophies which of course, to the sane individual would be incredible. And yet, of course, if you study the writings of the New Age and the occult, why, you find that these people, they believe in all sorts of things, a spiritual hierarchy, a master plan, the necessity of a one-world government. I mean, enlightened beings who are directing the course of the world. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Thomas Glessner. And if you have a question for him on this subject, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Thomas Glessner. We're talking about his book, The Emerging Brave New World. And really, of course, you can tell reading this book how deeply Thomas feels about this subject of abortion. And certainly it's a subject that we should all feel very, very strongly about. But, you know, certainly the attitude towards abortion is really changing, isn't it, Thomas?
Well, you know, we have fought a long struggle for the last 20 solid years fighting the ethic that Roe versus Wade unleashed upon the country, and I think we've made some progress. The polls today will show that the country is pretty much split on the idea of abortion. That is, at least 50% of the public, when asked, will say they're pro-life. 50% will say they're pro-choice. The problem gets into the detail, and even those who say they're pro-life, when they're pushed on it, what they mean by that, many of them will say, well, I'm definitely opposed to abortion, but I'm not sure the government should be involved. And so, you know, that creates a problem, because if the government's not involved in prohibiting it, then it's unleashed upon the public as it is today.
Well, there are a lot of people who are pro-choice who will say, well, I'm personally against abortion, but, you know, I don't want to interfere with a woman's choice. So, I mean, I think that most people will admit that abortion is wrong. But there are many, many people who embrace abortion because they feel it's an individual choice and that they don't want government interfering with the lives of women. Now, I would disagree with that argument, and I'm sure you would disagree with it. But there are a lot of people out there who consider themselves conservative and libertarian, and yet, of course, they don't want government telling people what to do.
Well, let's take that in another direction. What would they think if you and I decided to say that in regards to rape, we are opposed to rape, we think it's immoral, that it's wrong, that nobody should rape another human being, but that's our own personal belief and we don't want to impose that moral belief on anybody else. Someone else has the right to choose to live a life differently.
Hold that thought, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Thomas Glessner. We're talking about his book, The Emerging Brave New World. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And before we go on, Thomas, would you like to get out your website and tell people how to get copies of this book?
Sure. Well, the best way to get copies of the book, you'd actually go to Amazon.com and type in the name, The Emerging Brave New World, or type in my name, Thomas Glessner, G-L-E-S-S-N-E-R. You can also go to our website, which is NIFLA, that's N as in Nancy, I, NIFLA.org. That stands for the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, or NIFLA as we're called, and it's NIFLA.org. And on the homepage there, you can order the book as well.
All right, we've got Steve calling us from Illinois. Hi, Steve. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. Pardon me. I'm afraid to have to tell you that I think all we're going to get, especially out of our political persons in Congress, is lip service paid to anything alleviate this abortion thing. And that's tragic. And the reason... Pardon?
No, go right ahead, Steve.
Okay. The reason that that's going to be like that is the same reason that we have phenomenally high rape by our own American boys in the service. We allow that to go on, actually, and without too much demerit towards our boys, because boys will be boys, and we need them to fight these silly wars or tragic wars. And, you know, if we went after the other half of this abortion causes, the males, and I mean with tooth and claw, went after them every time this took place and really put a mark on it that this is what is going to happen, that would only be right in the first place. But we allow it to have the female and push on her and put a label on her and a scarlet letter and all that. And until and if we get this slowed down, we go after the males, the other part of the equation, I'm afraid it's just going to go on and on.
Well, let's get Thomas's response to what you're saying.
Well,
Thomas, what do you think?
I'm a little confused. When you say go after the males, well, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that instead of just it coming just because the female is the one bearing the child, we put more light on the male. The other half of the...
Well, I think that probably, Thomas, you know, Steve, this would be applicable because in cases of statutory rape, because there are an awful lot of, you know, underage girls who, are, of course, are getting pregnant, and the government is not doing anything. The public health officials, Planned Parenthood, does nothing about the fact that many of these girls are victims of statutory rape by men who are, you know these girls are underage and having intimate relationship with them. And in those instances, something could be done. It's not being done. Is that what you're referring to?
No, not actually. I'm saying that it seems like the male, I don't care for what age it is not really gone after as much as the girl.
What would you do to the men who had impregnated a woman?
First of all, like I told my sons, you're responsible. And I tried to, and I not only tried, I told them exactly, birds and bees and everything that went with it at an early age, and you do not impregnate, even get in that type of situation without, you're going to be responsible for it, and I don't care if you have to work, if you don't care for the girl, you better know this in advance, just exactly what it is. And this government, instead of going after the males, and I mean take them into court and make them pay for child support and everything, they give the girl, that's under a liberal heading, but they'll give them money, set them up, and this, that, and the other. That's why you see so many of them, and just like that octomom having so many children and everything, these males need to be gone after. And I'll tell you what, you'll have a real slowdown in the situation, but until we put the scarlet letter on the males, as we do the females, this problem is just going to go on and on and on.
Thomas, do you have any thoughts at all on what
I am a lawyer and had a law practice for years, and I'm familiar with, you know, the problem we have with men not being responsible, not paying child support, cases of statutory rape that are not being prosecuted and all those things. So if that's what the caller is referencing, then I agree with that. There needs to be far more support from the legal system in prosecuting statutory rape. There needs to be a much better and more effective situation in collecting child support for women who are left with a child and the father walks away scot-free, and there needs to be far more responsibility.
Sure. Unfortunately, what we've got, and I'll finish up here, is that we have males, for the most part, running this world. And it's just like a wink and a nod, you know, but boys will be boys, and this, that, and the other, and really, they don't go after them like they should.
All right, fine. Well, thank you. I certainly think it's a point well taken. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you.
Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I think the big problem that we have is simply one of morality. I mean, certainly young people are not told that it's wrong, of course, to have sex outside of marriage, and that you should wait until you get married, and all the heartbreak that you're going to get for yourself and for the girl that you're involved with, you know, after you've, if you have intimate relationships before you're married, and then you break up, and either one or both of them are never going to forget the relationship there. You can destroy other people's lives. Sometimes women, girls, will commit suicide after a broken up marriage. People have to realize that what we do, actions have consequences. But our children aren't taught that. They're not taught responsibility. They're not taught discipline. They're not taught anything about morality. If there's no God, why not just go out and live it up and have a good time? How are we going to get morality back in America, Thomas?
Well, it starts from the church. It starts from the pulpits of the country, and proclaiming what righteous conduct is all about. And it starts with our spiritual leaders not only preaching it, but exemplifying it. And when you hear of spiritual leaders proclaiming one thing and living secret lifestyles that are quite another, we have a crisis in our hands. But our church has to step forward and respond, and the spiritual leaders have to be the spiritual leaders they've been called by God to be.
But we're not seeing this. We find that, for instance, Mr. Haggard, who is actually the head of the 30 million member Evangelical National Association of Evangelicals. And Ted Haggard was a cocaine-using homosexual and leading a 30-million-member National Association of Evangelical Christians and using that pulpit to actually undermine Christianity. And, of course, we're supposed to feel very, very sorry for him. Certainly it's only God can forgive him for what he's done, if he's really repentant. And now, of course, we've replaced him with other people who are doing almost exactly the same thing. I don't know what their morality is, but they're certainly using their pulpit to push environmentalism and all of these other crazy things. Maybe we ought to do away with organized religion and just get back to a personal relationship. I don't see that the church is really being effective at all. I mean, there are a few churches, I'm sure, where the ministers are speaking out, but in most places, ministers don't want to speak out, because they don't want to be controversial, because there are women in the audience who've had an abortion. They speak against abortion. Those women are going to get angry, and maybe they'll leave the church. And so many of our churches are living on borrowed money. They borrowed money to build these big edifices. We got real problems in the church, Thomas. How can we get back to a nation where, of course, there is a solid foundation, Christian foundation? Because you say that church leaders should speak out, but I don't hear them speaking out.
Well, you know, in the book of Samuel, it starts out, I'll paraphrase it somewhat, but as you recall, Samuel was a little boy that was given to the high priest Eli to be trained and brought up in the temple. And the book of Samuel says that the voice of the Lord had not been heard throughout the land in many, many years. God had chosen at that time to be silent. He had not spoken to Eli the priest. His voice had been silent. And when God finally spoke, who did he speak to? He spoke to a little boy, Samuel. The book of Samuel tells us about that. And so ultimately, you know, I believe that perhaps America has turned its back on God, that God has just letting it go its own way and is not speaking right now. And we must wait for whomever he's called to eventually speak to bring us back. But our church leaders are absolutely right. You know, our church leaders are not speaking out. They're not speaking the truth. Not all of them are living private lives like Mr. Haggard. But still, they're not teaching and preaching the truth. So so that our congregations can be instructed in righteous living.
Well, I don't know if you're aware that they were going to have the unveiling of a picture of Mr. Obama, President Obama, wearing a crown of thorns with his arms outstretched as Jesus was on the cross, and on the cross, and this was to be unveiled, I think, on the 100th day of the Obama administration. I think that the President Obama finally decided that maybe this wasn't too good to try to draw the analogy between the crucifixion of Christ and our new president, although some people really seem to feel he's a Messiah, but I cannot believe that a Messiah would condone the slaughter of innocent children.
No, Jesus loved little children. Said they don't to forbid them to come to me because they such are the kingdom of heaven. And you're right, he never would have condoned the slaughter of children.
Well, his telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question. But really, of course, if you read Thomas's book, Thomas Glessner's book, Emerging Brave New World, it's a wonderful summary of the whole issue of abortion, the historical background, how we got into this mess we are today, the repudiation of the Hippocratic Oath, idea that doctors would never, you know, support an abortion, and never forget when I went before organized the California Medical Association and on the abortion issue, and I got up and said, look, you know what we ought to do? Let's just, as physicians, let's just repudiate the Hippocratic Oath. I mean, after all, we're supporting abortion and all of these other things. Why don't we officially, as an organized organization, officially repudiate the Hippocratic Oath? I did this with tongue-in-cheek, but boy, did the leaders of organized medicine put a kibosh on that, even though they were all pro-choice and they were pushing abortion, why they were afraid the public would realize that doctors, of course, had abandoned their calling. Well, let's go to Barbara, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Barbara. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a comment. I've been listening to the program, and I am very grateful for, you know, what your guest has been saying. I became pregnant out of marriage and chose to keep my child, and he has been one of the greatest joys of my life and one of the greatest benefits that has been there ever could have been to my family. And I just want to say that no child is ever conceived by accident. God has a purpose and a plan for every child that is conceived. And every child should be carried to birth. That's all I wanted to say. Just please, anybody, do not abort your child. God has a plan and a purpose for that child. And you really need, you know, even if somebody adopts the child, there is a purpose and a plan for that life.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very much. Well, it's, of course, our guest this evening is Thomas Glessner. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And what would you say to Barbara, Thomas?
Well, I would say to Barbara, God bless you. I absolutely agree with what you said. And, you know, I could hear the emotion in her voice. It makes me a little emotional. But... you know, she's right. Every human life is made in the image of God, and there is a purpose and a plan for that life. And the reason God prohibits murder is because murder is the intentional act of human beings to end the life that God is preparing for it to play a particular purpose in His sovereign and divine will for the earth. And every child conceived has that purpose there, and abortion cuts short that purpose. So I very, very want to encourage Barbara. You know, she's a very brave lady in this society. You don't have to carry a child to term in a problem pregnancy, but she was a brave lady, and she saw the truth and knew what was right, and she followed through with it.
Amen to that. Well, Sydney, this is a very emotional issue for people on all sides, and I know there are many women who've had abortions, had regretted it their whole lives. We've talked to them here as we do our radio programs. This is an issue we don't talk about too much, and yet it is here. It will be here. I congratulate you for having been dedicated to this. I think that they're the centers, places where women can go, you know, girls can go to be taken care of during their pregnancy and helped them when they go home. I mean, I think we've built a whole infrastructure here in the United States, you know, certainly of pro-life clinics and certainly of the crisis pregnancy centers, and then those centers and here you find the Protestants and the Catholics many times working very, very closely together, you know, to provide the care and the help for women who really need it, who are pregnant. And I know I'm Protestant, but the one center we had here in our area was run by the Catholics, and we supported it regularly for many years because they were doing a wonderful job of giving young girls who had a problem an alternative to abortion.
Well, there's a movement underfoot across country. There are 3,000 pro-life pregnancy resource centers in all communities of the nation, and they're providing that alternative to abortion. They are staffed by volunteers, people who are not getting paid for their service. They're staffed by people who simply care about the issue and want to help. And, of course, my organization that I head up, the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, provides legal services to about 1,200 of these centers around the country. And I'm very committed to their continuing efforts as they're supplying these needed resources in every community.
Well, I think that's important, too, because, of course, the people on the other side hate what you're doing. They hate the pro-life clinics, and, I mean, they will try to make their lives just as miserable as possible. I'm sure you run into that lots of times, don't you, Thomas?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are not popular with the other side.
And, of course, the problem is that we're dealing with human life, and who's going to speak for human life? We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Thomas, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program tonight.
Well, I just want to encourage people to consider buying the book. Go to Amazon.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
Every year. And, of course, as a result of this, of course, then who's going to pay for the retirement for the elderly? We're seeing this in Japan today where, of course, they've killed off all the young through abortion, and now, of course, the old are retiring. And of course, they're very, very strict as far as their immigration is concerned. And so they do not have anybody to pay for the retirement of the elderly. And the whole system is going to collapse, just as our system is going to collapse. The real debt here in the United States is not $11 trillion. If you go to the GAO report and look up the GAAP, the General Accepted Accounting practices, estimate of our debt, it's about $60 trillion. $60 trillion. That's greater than the value of everything in the United States today. That's greater than the combined gross domestic product of all the nations in the world for a single year. And that's our current debt. And the whole thing is going to collapse, ladies and gentlemen, in part because, I mean, the children are not going to be here to pay into the Social Security. And that's one reason why they open our borders, to bring in people from other countries, because, of course, we've killed off a whole generation of our children, almost 50 million of them. And where is the outcry from the church? Well, there are a few ministers who will speak out about it, but they're not as dedicated as Thomas is, who could probably make a very good job of living as a lawyer, but he's chosen, of course, to work in the pro-life field. Well, of course, you really can't understand so much of what's going on unless you understand the population control agenda. If you haven't read my monograph on population control, you need to get it. Let me suggest my talk, Planned Population Reduction. It's available on DVD. My talk on Nundare College Genocide and on population control. They're three separate talks, but they will give you tremendous insight into this program. We carry the National Security Study Memorandum 200, government publication, 1974, a couple of hundred pages, came out top secret over the signature of Henry Kissinger, who said, the major problem facing America is world population. We can't let these other nations have large populations because they'll then be able to compete with us, and we won't be able, in effect, to exploit them. You need to get the study. It's the basis of American foreign policy today. If you have never read the book, of course, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, about how, of course, our major thrust of American foreign policy is to keep the rest of the people of the world enslaved. The book, we do carry it, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, written by a man who was recruited by the intelligence agencies, and he worked for private corporations to be sure that the countries throughout the world would be enslaved. This is why half the world lives on about $2 a day, and a quarter of the world lives on $1 a day in abject poverty. Part of a long-range plan. We have a four-tape set on that called Economic Hitman, my actually interviews with the author of the book. The government did everything they could to discredit him. They eventually pulled down the website. They were afraid the American people might really believe what the author of the book, A Confessions of an Economic Hitman, really said. And, of course, he wrote another book, The Secrets of the American Empire, The Secrets of the American Empire, or The Secret Empire, American Empire, I'm not sure which, but they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We also carry the testimony of Dr. David MacArthur, complete testimony, where he testified in 1969 before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs asked for $10 million so they could create a new disease that could be used for mass killing, and 10 years later, we had Lyme disease and chronic fatigue and AIDS, and a decade later, the Gulf War illness that's disabled and destroyed the lives of so many of our young people. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. Go there, listen to us 5 hours a day, and then please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to be talking about what's going on economically in our country. And I should point out that Melody does support Radio Liberty, and we support her because we think she does a great job for our listeners. So, Melody, how are you tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Well, you're certainly living in exciting times, aren't we?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, things are changing so rapidly, and it is just amazing the distractions that are being created in order to avoid, you know, people really understanding to what is happening to them, to this country. And, it is amazing. It is... And people just buy into it. You know, they believe we're having a rally in the market. Who knows? You know, maybe we'll even see it run up. But even during the Depression, before it really hit the big bottoms, they had about nine rallies. So I think we're seeing the same thing here. But it's a sad, sad situation, what we face. And, of course, the distractions is just to cover up all the bad news that is being released.
I agree with you, because I think one of the most exciting distractions of this this terrible swine flu epidemic. We're hearing about 149, as many as 149 people may have died in Mexico. 149, and you hear this over and over again. How suddenly they're closing down the schools. They're closing, you know, many of the government offices. They're closing the theaters down there, frightened to death because we have this pandemic that's sweeping across the world, and 149 people may have died in Mexico. But, well, what do you mean may have died? I mean, did 149 people die of this disease? Well, no. I mean, the actual figure that where they have verified the cause of death is 7. 7. I mean, but you're not, they put all this information out intentionally to frighten you to death. Now, if you want me to verify it, an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday talks about the actual number. Well, they said 26, but the actual number is 7. 7 people have died that they've been able to tie to the flu. Now, there's one more in the United States. Now, boy dies in Texas was the story. Infant, a 23-year-old child, dies in Texas. Well, but it happened to be a child that came from Mexico into Texas because it couldn't get adequate treatment down there. A child that obviously had a great deal of illness of other sources, and the child dies. Why did they tell us 149 people had died or may have died when the figure was only 7? Why, it's just great diversion, and they are masters at this sort of thing, Melody, because the real problem we're seeing here, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that the whole economy of the United States is in the process of collapsing. And, of course, profits are down. This latest thing that we're talking about as far as General Motors is concerned. I mean, we're talking about the hedge funds and pension funds and many money market funds invested in GM stock, and they're going to end up with 5 cents on the dollar. How would you like to be in a pension fund that was invested heavily in General Motors stock? And they're going to end up with a very small part of that, of the General Motors final settlement there. The unions are going to own 40%. The government, Mr. Obama, is going to own 50%. But he says, I don't want to run an automotive company, but we're going to take it over. Well, Melody, certainly as we see these things going on today, and we, of course, if you read the Wall Street Journal, you see that profits are down on almost every, I'd say that 90% of the profit reports that are coming in from major corporations are down. Certainly house building and commercial building is way off. In fact, one of the next big bubbles that's going to burst is the commercial property market. All these mortgages on commercial property where people borrowed money with the idea they were going to be able to rent out the property and then pay back the loan, and that's going to go down. And then the derivatives market, I mean, we're talking about maybe as much as $250 billion out there. I mean, there's not that much money, not even 10% of that amount of money in the world. And where is the money coming from? Well, apparently President Obama is going to certainly keep all of these corporations going because, after all, they're too big to fail. I think they're too big to survive. What do you think?
Well, I agree, Dr. Stan. And when you mentioned about the flu as it being a diversion, and that's absolutely correct. But what's interesting also is because this diversion, while being created to avoid the discussions of unemployment and the commercial real estate, and I mean, my gosh, our GDP, the U.S. economy plunged over 6% the first 3 months of this year. But even that flu pandemic, so they speak, is still, I would think, have some additional stress on the economy because even though I don't believe, I agree with you, they're certainly taking and distorting it to cover up everything, but yet there's going to be an impact from that also affecting economies around the world. And but absolutely, I mean, the GDP, the economy plunged 6%. You still have the unemployment that is still exploding. Even before the mass layoffs at Chrysler and GM, this morning the jobless claims reported that there was more than 637,000 wage earners that lost their paychecks last week. So and that is bringing up the people that are drawing unemployment benefits to more than 6.25 million. People, and that's the highest ever on record. So, I mean, these are the numbers, and it's amazing how the markets have been able to hold together, of course, with all this news. So the only way I see it is one day in the very near future when we're going to wake up and we're going to see massive changes in the markets, big drops in the markets, because it just can't sustain all this news, and it will filter through.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess is Melody Cedarstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call if you have a question or comment. And Melody was just saying that, of course, the unemployment was up again this last week, and large numbers of people are losing their jobs. And a lot of these people, you know, may have had prime loans as far as their home is concerned. But what do you do? Of course, you've got, you know, you bought a home, you put 20% down on the home, you had a good salary, but now you don't have any salary and you don't have any savings. Well, you're going to end up losing your home. And of course, supposedly they're going to come up with all these programs to help the people who are going to lose their homes. Ladies and gentlemen, they've been talking about that since last October. Do you remember, of course, when Henry Paulson demanded he get the $700 billion so he could use it to buy up the mortgages so that people wouldn't lose their homes? And then he turned around and gave the money to his friends on Wall Street. Here's a man who made almost $1 billion, I think $800 million, working as a CEO of Goldman Sachs. And then he, demands money to help the homeowners. And then he changes his mind and gives it a large part of that money to Goldman Sachs. Does anybody question maybe that there might be a conflict of interest? And then Mr. Paulson picks a man named Liddy to head AIG, the American Investment Group. And then we proceed to give them $180 billion because Mr. Liddy holds a great deal of stock in Goldman Sachs. And Mr. Liddy gives another $12.5 billion to Goldman Sachs, and Mr. Paulson owns stock in, and Mr. Liddy owns stock in. And where is the outcry from the American people? And it's deafening and it's silence. And we're too busy watching to see how the Giants are doing, and how the Red Sox are doing, and how the Yankees are doing, and how the Clippers are doing, and certainly the NBA playoffs are going on right now. But our attention is not being focused on the fact that they're in the process of destroying the value of our currency so that they can impoverish the American people. Certainly, the next wave of home foreclosures is coming down the line. Now the Alt-A loans, those are the liar's loans, are coming due. The subprime loans are going to explode, and this is even going to be much larger collapse than the subprime mortgage, but they're trying to keep our attention focused elsewhere. But this is coming up within the next few months as the housing market collapses, and everything the Obama administration is suggesting, none of it's working. In fact, there was a temporary moratorium on home foreclosures, and the large banks held off for 3 months foreclosures, wait to see what Obama was going to do. And when they realized it was all rhetoric and having little to do with reality, now J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley and the others that are holding large numbers of home loans are just going to proceed with their foreclosures, and foreclosures are actually increasing, but they're not telling the American people. We'll go right ahead, Melody. Let's get your thoughts on the things that are going on.
No, and it is true. I mean, the financial media, you know, everyone has a conflict of interest when it comes to telling the truth about the economy. And you know, I believe the economy is also being used to some degree as a distraction, because as this is all unfolding, as the economy collapsing, I believe behind the scenes they are using this economy, this collapse, to totally erode something even more important. And of course, that is the whole fiber of this country. And I believe there's so much legislation going on behind the scenes. I believe there's so many things that are being passed and incorporated. The way the government is coming in and owning these corporations, the nationalization of banks, I believe that is the main focus. And I believe they did create this economy to fail to this extent. And whether they had planned on it being the housing bubble or whatever, they're using this crisis in order to do this, because it is the largest crisis that we've had, of course, since financial crisis, of course, since that we know, since the Depression 29. So I think there's a lot of things unfolding, and everything is focused on the economy, the bankruptcies of GM and Chrysler, and that everyone even fails to see what is happening to the fiber of this country. And it's to me, that is, you know, a greater loss than some of the things that we're seeing.
I talked to one of my friends today. He said that one of his customers had called him, and who had been actually working for General Motors for many, many years. He's retired now, but he still has his finger on that. He had a GM dealership, and he said that so many of the GM dealers also sold Chrysler products. In other words, they had Chrysler cars, they had GM cars all across America, and of course they were getting funding on this from the GMAC, just a General Motors lending institution. That, and of course then the GMAC would lend money to people who wanted to buy cars. They would lend money to people who wanted to buy cars, but they'd also lend it to the dealers. And of course the dealers, you know, carrying a large number of Chrysler cars on their lot as well as GM cars. And just this morning, why, of course, GMAC sent an announcement out. Once it became obvious that Chrysler was going to go into bankruptcy, they demanded immediate payment on their loans for all the Chrysler cars. You're talking about, you know, literally probably hundreds of thousands of Chrysler cars sitting on lots all across America that are bought with borrowed money, waiting for somebody to come and buy them. And suddenly GMAC called all those loans this morning. You're not going to hear about that. But if the story is true, why, we're going to have havoc, you know, within the next 48 to 72 hours, simply on that basis. This is going to have a dramatic effect in, you know, certainly on the finances of the car dealers, because, of course, I mean, they've got the cars. Everything is done on borrowed money. What happens if they demand back the borrowed money tomorrow? And, of course, why would GMAC want to certainly have a security cars in a company that just has declared bankruptcy? And Chrysler went into bankruptcy today. And then the President of the United States, I heard him saying, Chrysler going into bankruptcy is not a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of weakness. They're going to come out stronger than ever, I believe. What do you mean it's not a sign of weakness? Why would you go into bankruptcy if you weren't in a very weak position? How can President Obama say that Chrysler is not in a weak position, that he's convinced they're going to come out stronger than ever? Well, basically, of course, they're going to be absorbed by Fiat. And, of course, the people who own bonds in Chrysler, they're going to lose all their money. Suddenly, the large Cerberus would put up a lot of the money. They're going to lose all of their money they've invested there. And, of course, the company is going to belong largely to the union and, of course, to Fiat. And it's no longer going to be an American company. Do you honestly believe you're going to have members of the union sitting on the board of directors and members of the union sitting across the table from the negotiating for the loans for their salaries of their employees? And this sort of a situation just doesn't work, because employees always want more money, and so what they're going to do is create a situation where the company's eventually going to go bankrupt. You can't have the employees running the company and then demanding higher and higher wages. This is what's happened in so many of our communities, our cities, and our counties across the country, where, of course, the union employees, union, county, and city employees, you know, would get people elected. They would put their money out. They'd get people elected to the city councils and the county board of supervisors, who would then give massive salaries to the government employees. And the trouble is that right now, with incomes cutting back for the cities and counties, they don't have enough money to pay the pension funds that they promised them. Massive salaries, massive pensions. I mean, a fire captain over here in San Jose, when he retired, he got $250,000 for Sunday, the days that his sick days he hadn't taken when he was there. $250,000. They get some of the highest pensions and health benefits. The trouble is that Santa Clara doesn't have any money. Santa Clara County doesn't have the money. Then what's going to happen? Why, these counties are going to go bankrupt, and they're going to begin forfeiting or just simply defaulting on their bonds. And I think that we're going to see more and more municipal bonds collapsing and state bonds collapsing. And in fact, there are many people who believe that Great Britain and other nations are going to default in the near future. In fact, if you look at what it costs to insure U.S. Treasury bonds, the price is going up dramatically because the people who issue those insurance policies fear that the American government is going to default on its debt. And certainly all these things are happening, and yet I don't think most people have any idea Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. How many of you agree, out there in the audience, agree with President Obama, who says that Chrysler is not in a weak position when it enters bankruptcy? This is going to allow it to become stronger, especially now that the unions are going to control the automotive industry, this automotive producer. What are your thoughts, Melody?
Well, what's interesting is I believe Fiat, not too very long ago, they weren't in very good financial shape either. And so now you have two weak companies that are merging. And also, you know, I saw in the news tonight they're only eliminating one of the CEOs, they're just, I think it's Lasorda, all the other ones are going over with Fiat. So they're not eliminating any of the management that drove these companies into the ground. So it behooves me how they're going to fix their problem. And again, you're right. I mean, what are these unions and everything else knows about creating automobiles and running a business? And they're going to try to turn these companies around by producing these fuel-efficient vehicles, and that's not what the public wants. You still need to have the public to want to buy an automobile from this company. And, of course, we all know that the public doesn't have the funds to buy an automobile, but I think they would turn to Honda or Toyota or Nissan before they would certainly turn to a Chrysler Fiat vehicle.
And I think the other thing is, of course, that now they want to push hybrids, you know, and they want to produce the electric cars. All you have to do is you just plug it in, but they're going to triple the cost of the electricity with green energy.
Yep.
And I think it's really so important that we hear them talking about how, oh, my goodness, you know, what we want to do now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
A crumbling world economic system, why in heaven's days isn't gold going through the roof?
Well, there's only one word to sum it up, and they're suppressing the price of gold, because we all know that gold is the indicator of everything that tells us that is wrong. They do not want people to own gold. They want people to fall into these phony rallies, into the market. They want people to put their money in the market, and if you look at the gold ETFs, which, you know, I'm not an advocate of those, but people are buying, they have all kinds of, breaking all kinds of records of people buying these accounts, and of course I always believe you're much better off taking possession of your gold. But the reporting of the IMF, a lot of it is psychological. Impacts from the reporting that the IMF is going to be selling all their gold, but we also know that when that gold comes to the market, it's going to have very little impact on the price. But yet this sets a psychological impact. People are waiting to see if gold's going to go further. You have all these other pundits that are writing that gold is going to go down. All your mainstream financial programs, they talk bad about gold because they want everybody to own paper. But I believe it was today, there is an existing contract, an agreement about gold sales of where countries can only sell so many tons of gold a year. And I guess that contract was, the pact was set to expire come this September, and they are looking to extend it. So very little these countries are allowed to sell up to 500 tons a year, and the sales have slid to record lows. In the fourth year of this pact, only 358 tons of the 500 was sold, and only 91 tons in the final year to date. So that is good news. So that should sustain the price of gold. So any gold coming from that area will not impact the price of gold, will not impact the market very much. It will not have a significant effect on the price. So, but the long-term psychological impact is something a little bit different. And so, you know, and I do believe with the diversions of the from the economy of the numbers and so forth, has just put a little bit of pressure. Also, we've seen the a lot of discussions of the economy turning around and everything like that. You saw platinum and palladium, which is industrial metals. You saw those prices rise significantly, and I think then there was a sudden reversal, and you saw the prices on those drop significantly. So I think that probably had a little bit of impact on the gold prices also. But the most important thing is it is so important to own gold. And we believe that China will continue to buy more gold. There's a lot of discussions with the tonnage from the IMF that China would probably be standing in line to purchase more gold. So there's still the discussions that gold is going to $2,000, $5,000 an ounce. And people just have to be patient. And, no one has a crystal ball when these numbers are going to happen. And but I'm sure pretty sure that they will, but I think we'll see significant prices above the 900 level, and I think that's almost a guarantee.
All right, fine. Certainly, it appears that China is beginning to accumulate gold. Now, the question is, they buying this on the international market? Is this their own gold? But they have almost doubled their gold holdings here in the last year or so, which, of course, had quite an impact on the market when it was announced, the massive holdings that China has. Now, if China ever went into the gold market with the massive reserves they have, why, they could certainly, drive the price of gold right to the roof, and, of course, by so doing, totally destroy the value of our currency. And, you know, the old golden rule still holds. He who has the gold rules. And, of course, China is accumulating gold. America is doing everything they can, our leaders, to destroy the value of our currency. What people really don't understand is that the leader of the China Bank, the Bank of China, who controls their currency, sits on a small little secret group known as the Group of 30. You can get information on them. If you go up on the Internet and just type in the Group of 30, and there you'll find three of the key advisors. There's only 30 people there. Three of the key advisors to Barack Obama, Paul Volcker, Timothy Geithner, Larry Summers. They're all part of this. Six of the 30 people come from the Trilateral Commission. But the head of the Bank of China is there as well. And they all work together behind the scenes. We'll never know what they do. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, as our guest is on Melody Cedar Stream. What's happening to silver? Is silver doing much of anything?
Well, it started to move there a little bit with gold, and it had the same pullback with gold. So it'll be following the gold prices, and it should do very well in the future along with gold. But silver has taken over an industrial presence. And so the economy will have an impact on the prices, and but I think it will convert, and it'll follow gold. So both will do very well. It is very important to have both in your portfolio. We recommend 80% gold and 20% silver, and of course that is can be changed based on any individual's investment objective. These are rules of thumb, and what I believe is important. We're having a monetary crisis. We're going into a very hyperinflationary period in the future, and gold has always been the way to preserve one's wealth. Silver will, I believe, turn more to a monetary metal in the future. I think it, and it should do very well if we ever come out of these. When the economy ever does turn around again, the industry will rise. But we have a lot of problems and situations before we get to that period. So,
and I think that people think that this is going to be over here, and maybe later this year, or certainly not next year, we'll be at the bottom, and then we'll start coming back again. I don't think most people understand this is going to go on probably for close to a decade, exactly as happened with the Great Depression of 1929. It took a decade before we got into the war, and then it was only the war that pulled us out. It certainly wasn't anything that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did, or the policies that he introduced at that time, which are identical to the policies that are being introduced by the Obama administration, trying to spend your way out of a problem that was created by too much spending. And remember, of course, Herbert Hoover's promise, President Hoover's promise, two cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot. And, of course, the way it ended up was two chickens in every garage and no cars at all. We'll be back in just a moment with Melody Cedarstrom, and we'll welcome your calls right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Melody says that suggests that she believes that people should be invested 80% in gold, 20% in silver, that both are excellent investments and both are vital, of course, to preserving your wealth. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to a period down the line of hyperinflation. We're going to have deflation. Before that, we're going to have some very difficult times. And then, of course, government does what it always does, and that is begin to inflate the money supply. And when you do that, and increase the amount of credit out there. And this is what happened in the Weimar Republic. Remember, this is what happened in Zimbabwe under the supervision of the American State Department, which kept the ruthless communist dictator Mugabe in power and is still financing him in the name of humanitarian aid. And we eventually ended up impoverishing the entire population. We've kept those murderous thugs that we support with our humanitarian aid in power. And we're in a terrible situation as far as I'm concerned. Well, certainly, Melody, would you like to give out your telephone number? Would you like to give out your website and tell people why they may want to contact you?
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That is 1-800-375-4188. And our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And we do put out a little weekly newsletter, and also you can listen to some radio programs on there that are archived on a weekly basis, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And when you call us, we do something a little bit different. We do care what you hold as far as your gold and silver coins. I believe I take a different approach. I don't sell coins just to sell coins and I don't sell just one type of coin to everybody. I really try to listen to the people that call to see what their objectives are, to see what their budget is, and we try to educate on the various coins and what would best suit their portfolio when they're purchasing gold and silver coins. Sure, there's only a handful of coins available, but it does make a difference. And I've just recently had a customer who spent a considerable amount of funds on these, I believe it was like 10 or 11 coins, and he bought those 2 years ago. His coins should have been up significantly, and he was actually losing over 50% of what he spent. And so it does make a difference. So therefore, he bought the wrong type of coins for what his objective was. So if you give us a call, and that's what we try to do with our clients, and we do a very good job, and our customers are positioned very well, so when we see the increases of gold and silver, they get the most performance from their coins. Each coin has a place, and there isn't any bad coin out there. The reasons coins get a bad reputation is because they're sold the wrong coins at the wrong price, at the wrong type, at the wrong time. So they're not buying what they should buy for their own situation. And the coins perform as they should perform. So I'd be more than happy to review any type of portfolio, gold and silver portfolio. And I'm not an advocate of trading in and out of your coins, but sometimes you can tweak your portfolio and get a little bit better performance from it.
All right, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Right now we have Mark calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hi. I got a few questions and a couple points, so let me make a follow-up. But my first question is, do gold or resource stocks have any place in one's portfolio, gold companies or gold mutual funds?
Personally, I'm not a paper person. I believe that you're still gambling. You're working with Wall Street. You're feeding the beast. And I choose personally not to carry any gold shares. I believe if someone does carry gold shares, I believe you should have at least 50% of your investment in hard physical metal. So if you carry $50,000 in shares, you should have $50,000 in physical gold in your possession.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, do you recommend holding the gold at your home, or do you recommend holding it at a safety deposit box?
I think you're always better to have it next to you, in, you know, wherever you can secure it close to you in your home, whether it be a safe or any other place that you might choose. However, I do talk to a lot of customers who aren't comfortable with that. Perhaps they live in an apartment, the elderly, and I don't believe the safety deposit box is the first choice, but sometimes people don't have a choice. If that's the case, they can spread their risk a little bit by going to two separate banks and, you know, putting some in one bank and putting some in another bank, and always read the fine print because it does vary from bank to bank.
What would you say the likelihood is of government gold confiscation? And then I have a follow-up to that as well.
Gold confiscation?
By the government.
I think in these times anything is possible. I don't think they'll be knocking on your door to obtain your gold. I believe they will regulate it. They will have to regulate it if they're going to make if they do some sort of a trade unit globally for to balance these all these fiat currencies. So yes, I do believe they will regulate it, confiscate it. They might make some illegal to own. They certainly can grab it. I believe this is another reason why they're funneling a lot of gold to a lot of these ETFs. If they're holding gold, I'm sure they're holding some. You know, so it's like they're centralizing these areas of gold.
So, do you share, first of all, what kind of records are you required to keep, and what kind of identification do you require from your clients? The obvious point of my question is, can you guarantee your clients any kind of anonymity if they want to buy gold, you know, and not have it be traced or tracked or witnessed by anyone?
Well, by law, we have to keep records for a period of time for tax purposes, and anyone who tells you any different, you know, I mean,
you guys have to. So you have to report. You report the name of the Social Security number or anything else?
No. The only time there's any reporting requirements is if accounts are paid with cash. If you sent me, you know, $10,000 of $100 bills, but to take this in another direction, I think people sometimes are a little more concerned with what they have, a little more fear of the government knowing what they're doing. And granted that, yes, I believe government has their nose where they shouldn't have it, but it shouldn't prevent you from purchasing gold and silver coins. If they want to know about you, they're going to want to know about you. It doesn't matter if we shredded all the documents after you made the order. If they want to know, they're going to find out about it. But once you have that gold, that's where your privacy begins. That's when you become independent from their system.
Mark, if I can make a suggestion, diversify. Whatever you do, do not put all of your eggs in one basket. Put them in a number of baskets, and that way you'll be far better off. Because basically what we're talking about is preserving some of your wealth. Remember that he who loses the least wins. We are all going to lose before this is over.
So my final question, because I'm sure you have more calls, is there's two ways to look at it. You know, you tell your clients to be patient and that gold will go up to 2,000 or 5,000, but I see it differently. I see it like that's not really gold going up. It's money going down. And every time gold goes up in value, it means the dollars that you, whatever remaining dollars you hold, are worth that much less. So that's why I think at some point it's just going to be all into gold, period, not have any dollars at all, because the dollars are just going to decline in value. The question is at what point that becomes. And then the other question is, and then I'll take the answer on the air. The other question is, do you expect gold to outperform on an inflation-adjusted basis, meaning to appreciate at a greater rate than the decline of the dollar's purchasing power? Okay, I'll hang up and listen on the air.
All right, but I think Mark's point is very, very good. I mean,
yes. The
thing is that we're not talking about getting rich. We're talking about preserving some of your wealth. And basically they are going to do everything they can to keep you from maintaining any of your wealth, because they really want to impoverish our people. They know exactly what they're doing. They're doing everything they can to collapse the economy of the entire world. And out of the chaos that is being produced, they intend to bring in their one world government. So you go ahead, Melody. What would your thoughts be in response to Mark? I think his points were very well made. Let me give our telephone number again. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How would you respond to Mark?
Well, he is absolutely correct, and he did have great questions and views. And it is our money that is losing value with the gold prices going up. And whether gold will outperform the greater than our inflation, I can't imagine you can do it by percentages or by dollar for dollar. However, I do know that you will be better off. You will preserve your purchasing power by owning gold. I mean, you know, the old saying goes, those $20 gold pieces from, you know, over 100 years ago still buys you the same thing today as it did then. So is it dollar for dollar? Well, probably not, but your purchasing power is still intact. So, and again, it isn't about, you know, making, this is the insurance policy that preserves your purchasing power. And to me, any gains is secondary, considering to what I want to keep, and I'm not going to lose as much as everyone else. That's the key, because eventually we'll be able to take what we have and reinvest it, and that is where the real wealth will be made.
All right, well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mike, how are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I just wanted to address that question about the calling in by the government of the gold and how it was done before in 1933 by FDR. He did it by executive order, 6102, as simple as that. And it was said that he says, I do declare that existing national emergency in banking was the reason. And it included all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates within the continental United States being held by individuals, partnerships, associations, and corporations. So it's that simple. And they could decide that right now they have a sufficient national emergency in banking, just the same as back then, and take our gold any old time. So we should put it in a hole in the backyard or anywhere, as long as we have total control and not trusting any bank, which is really controlled by the Federal Reserve through the FDIC, amongst other mechanisms.
Well, I think people have forgotten that when they put out that emergency banking directive, they actually sealed the safety deposit boxes, and then they were opened by the people in the bank and the government, and they took out any gold that was in the safety deposit boxes. So certainly I would not suggest that people put all of their holdings in a safety deposit box, because you have no privacy there. They can go into it any time they want to. They're not going to tell you that, but that's what they did back during the Roosevelt administration. And, of course, they could very well do that again. That is why you have to remember the three rules of investing: diversify, diversify, and diversify. Go ahead, Mike. Anything else you want to say?
That's pretty much it. I think that people ought to get that in order. It's pretty easy. Again, it's number 6102 in April 1933. And if they did it then, they can do it now.
You're absolutely right.
Especially since we've had Obama's cover on a picture on the cover of Time so many times, where he's they portrayed him as the new FDR.
Well, some people would like to present him as the new Messiah, but when they actually have this new picture of him wearing a crown of thorns with his arms outstretched as Jesus did on the cross, they're not going to reveal. Put that out publicly just yet, but the picture is all painted. One day, perhaps, it will be presented as we view our new Messiah.
He might show up that way in the churches first.
Well, of course, actually, he insists that they remove all of the Christian paraphernalia from churches when he goes there so that nobody will see the crosses and be offended. Anything else, Melody, you'd like to say to Mike?
No, I mean, I agree with him with the executive order back there in 33. I believe the only difference then was you did have a currency that was gold, and that was what was recalled. And I agree they did it then; they could do it again. There isn't. I don't believe there's as much gold circulating today as they had then. You know, everybody had gold. Of course, a lot of people did lose their money through the Depression, and so you know, and most people kept some of their gold anyway. A lot of them didn't turn it in. And as, you know, what many won't turn it in today either if they confiscate it. But I think it is a very real possibility, and I really do believe they will regulate in some form, shape, or manner.
Well, in the executive order, it wasn't just the gold coin or currency, as you're referencing. It was gold bullion and certificates also are listed in the executive
right.
order, with some allowances for jewelry and industry. So it wasn't 100%, but you could call it 99% or something like that.
Right.
Okay, Mike, God bless you. Good to hear
Thank
from you.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Okay, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest, of course, is Melody Cederstrom. Melody, before we let you go this evening, I want you to get your telephone number and your webpage out just one more time.
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I just want to say the one thing on confiscation, because it can be debated all day long. I do believe they will regulate in some form. But what we don't do at Discount Gold and Silver Trading is we don't use the confiscation as a tool to sway people to purchase one type of coin or another, just like we don't use any other factor other than that you have to look at gold and silver as what they are as a metal to preserve your purchasing power. I believe that if you purchase the proper coins to suit you, all areas of concern will be protected. And many dealers will use confiscation as a fear tactic. And I don't believe that is, I believe people need to be aware of it. I believe people need to be informed so that they can make their decision on what they want to purchase for their portfolio. So that's another area where we differ from probably any other dealer in the country. Yes, confiscation is important, but we don't use it as a fear tactic.
Well, of course, basically when they did confiscate, didn't they allow people to keep collectible coins?
Yes, they did. Coins of rare and unusual value.
All right, and of course, are 100-year-old coins certainly considered collectible today?
Well, with the Patriot Act, when we had to become compliant, they wrote numismatic.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
To keep you abreast of what's happening, but we are living in the most dangerous times of our nation's history. I will tell you that. I've been at this for 47 years, and we are seeing a scenario played out today that, of course, is going to go from crisis to crisis to crisis, and who knows what the next crisis is going to be. Some people say there's going to be a major crisis in the next 72 hours. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. We're just going to have to wait and see. But under any circumstances, understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It will introduce you to this spiritual battle. That's why you need to see the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, and The Eye of the Phoenix. There are three DVDs. You can buy them separately, or you can get them all together for a suggested price of $59.95 plus shipping. A great buy, because it could together separately, they'd probably be $75 or $80. But you can get them all together as the Secret Mystery Special, and I play a small part in each one of the films. A very small part and insignificant, but what we try to stress is there have always been secret societies here. And you're never allowed even to hear about this because of the degree of control that exists over the media and over the press. We carry the book Trilaterals, by Professor Sutton, who is really one of the experts on the Trilateral Commission. We actually have a syllabus, which is the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Who's in the CFR, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, a group of 30. We actually have it all listed in a convenient syllabus. We have, of course, our syllabus on the financial Armageddon with some of the speeches from the congressmen in the past. And that you'll never hear, we actually have that letter that that President Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House back in 1933, saying, as you and I both know, financial elements in the major centers has owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson, and I'm not excluding WW, meaning Woodrow Wilson. And we're going to be playing this same battle all over again right now, and because that was, you'll actually have a copy of the letter I found it back at the Sterling Laboratory, at the Sterling Library there at Yale University when I went through Colonel House's papers. Shouldn't we have so much of the information? You want to understand how all of the wars have been contrived? You need to get my talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus. It has all the documentation, or so much of the documentation you need to read. That's Iraq, the Untold Story, plus the syllabus. And, of course, to your advantage to get them together. We've got a great new a 4-CD set called Deadly Assassins. We have the new 4-CD set on the sinking of the USS Liberty. We have a DVD put out by the BBC and censored here in America called Dead in the Water on the Liberty. We have a video put out by the Liberty veterans. We have the Liberty Special, where you get the 4-CD set and the DVD and the video and this syllabus we put together. You need to have this information. You need to let the American people know that our leaders intended for those men to die. They intended them from dying, and they threatened the survivors of the Liberty, those who, remember, there were 280 men on board. There were about 35, 36 that were killed, 170 wounded. And the survivors were told they would be killed if they ever revealed what happened that day. You want to hear their stories? It's in the story of the USS Liberty. You'll certainly want to get our 4-tape set on the murder of Martin Luther King. And, of course, you'll hear the people who attended the trial there, where, of course, the jury actually decided the government was behind the murder of Martin Luther King. Our 4-tape set on Bobby Kennedy. Or, of course, we have the special on Bobby Kennedy and the Kennedy special as well, Jack Kennedy. Pray for America. Our number 1-800-544-8927.